St. Luke.
Yes.
Chapter 24. And verses 1 through 9. Now today, hallelujah, we have it up on the board for those of you who didn't bring your Bibles. And those of you who didn't bring your Bibles, shame on you. You can't tell the players without a program. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And certainly, Sister Phyllis, we thank you for the work that you do. I didn't get a chance to acknowledge you last Sunday, but well, y'all missed it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, y'all feelings was hurt when I didn't even read it. But praise be unto God, Sister Phyllis. Thank you for the work that you do, ma'am. And certainly for all of you who are in the back there working on the sound.
Amen.
Look, I start to call names, I'm going to get in trouble. But I'm going to get in trouble anyway. Deacon Stokes, I see you back there. Deacon Green, I see you. Joe as well. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we thank you. Now look, y'all had more than enough time to get to Luke, the gospel according to Luke. It's the only book called Luke in your Bible. Amen. And chapter 24 and verses 1 through 9, and they read on this wise. Now the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb.
Yes.
And then they went in and didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. And then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest." For a few moments of your time, we just want to talk about the first to tell the story. The first to tell the story. Before you're seated, let us go to God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for this privilege, this opportunity to be able to come into the house of prayer just one more time. And especially upon this day that we have chosen to celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we come with humble hearts and bowed down heads, realizing, Father God, all that you've done for us, and that which you've done for us, Father God, you didn't have to do, but you did it because you loved us.
Yes, sir.
In spite of all that you know about us, you did it anyway. And so we are grateful.
Thank you.
We are thankful. We glorify and we magnify your name this morning for all that you have done for us. And so we come right now, Father God, asking that you would touch our hearts and touch our minds, that you would take away our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh, that you would open our ears and our hearts to receive that which you have for us this day, the knowledge that there is a God who loves us and loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. And because he's died for us and because he's risen again, we have the right, the privilege to call you Father and then to know, like we know, like we know we know, that if we should ever leave this earth, that we would go immediately into the presence of the Lord. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. My prayer is that you would decrease me and that you would increase your Holy Spirit, that your word would go forth with clarity and with power, that it would do those things that you've purposed them to do, some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of you. Now, these and all other things, we ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name, and we all do say amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The first to tell the story. As I woke up this morning, and I had the occasion after, you know, studying a little bit, I turned on the news, and in the news this morning, whether you realized it or not, there were some Christians who lost their lives there in Sri Lanka. And it caused to remind me after reading this that the world hates you.
Yes.
Satan hates you.
Yes, sir.
Because he hates you because you have, if you're a Christian, believed in your heart. And you've confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. That means you are saved. And so we say the word saved, and sometimes people are like, well, that's fine, but how much money did I save? But the salvation that we're talking about is the fact that you have been saved from the wrath of God.
That's it.
The salvation that we want to show you this morning, present to you this morning, ask that you would consider, is that salvation that when we've done wrong, and if you lived any amount of time, you know that you've done some things wrong, and sometimes we do things wrong, and we're not aware of the fact that we've done some things wrong. Amen. And sometimes we do things wrong, and we know that we've done it wrong.
Yes.
You know, and your response is, well, I'm big enough, and I'm bad enough, and you know, I'm old enough, and I know what I did was wrong, but you know what? Sometimes we try and, like, let's say, suck it up and make it sound like we're all that in a bag of chips. But the fact of the matter is, you ain't all that.
Thank you.
Because the truth of the matter is, there are times when you are alone and you hate to be alone. Because when you're alone, God gets to talking to you. And he gets to showing you stuff.
Yes,
and he gets to telling you about all the things that you ain't. And then if that ain't enough, the world is more than happy to tell you what that you ain't about. But praise be unto God when you receive him as your own. He says that you've gone from darkness into the marvelous light. You are no longer a part of the world. You might be in the world, but you're not any longer of the world. You don't have to hate on nobody because what your daddy got for you is better than what the world has for you.
Amen.
This morning we want to talk about some other Christian folk. They got up early in the morning and they were trying to make their way to a grave. Can I give you an American history lesson? Maybe some of you will remember it. And a lot of you, I'm looking at a lot of young faces this morning. A lot of you probably ain't never heard about it. But there were some four little girls.
Yes.
And they were in church.
Yeah.
And just like today in Sri Lanka, they were killed in church. Their deaths brought about a watershed moment in history. Because from that, the people got the will and the backbone to say, you know what, we're not doing this no more. We're not going to continue to be second-class citizens. We're going to start marching in the street. We're going to start speaking truth to power. And as a result, the relationships changed. It didn't make everything all right because those four little girls were dead. And those four little girls were buried. And as time marched on, there was a family of this one little girl. Her name is Addie Mae Collins. And Addie Mae Collins was buried in a grave. And Addie Mae Collins, for years and years, they kept up that grave. Originally, that grave had a wooden headstone, and they removed that wooden headstone and put in a granite headstone. And after years and years, this little cemetery fell in disarray. So the family decided that they were going to disinter Addie Mae and move her remains to another cemetery. But imagine, if you will, their shock, their dismay, that how upset they were when they disinterred the grave and did not find the coffin or the body. Nobody asked the question, did she get up out of the grave? They asked, where was her body? Can I take you back 2,000 years ago? There are these women, they got up early in the morning. And they made their way in the dark. To a grave site. And as they were making their way to the grave site, they were the first to the grave. They got up early. They were present when Jesus was hanging on the cross. They were these same women were disciples of Jesus. A disciple is just simply one who is taught by. But so these women were in fact disciples. They weren't the 12, but they were disciples nonetheless. And these women took it upon themselves. We saw him die on the cross. We saw where they drove the nails in his hands. We saw where they drove the nail into his feet. We saw when they hung him high and stretched him wide. We were present when he said all last seven sayings. We were there and present when they thought that he was dead, and to make sure that he was dead, they saw the centurion take the spear and pierce him into his side, and out came blood and water.
Amen.
They made sure that Christ was dead. They were there when Joseph of Arimathea and one other came and took him off the cross. They were there when he took the body and did the best he could with it, because he only had a little bit of time before it was time for the Passover. And so, as they wrapped his body, they took Jesus' body and they put him in Joseph's tomb. And then, once they put him in the tomb, the women were there. The women saw all this. And they closed the stone behind it. Now, there were certain individuals, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and see, none of this was lost on them. You know how the world is. When something bad to you happens to you, the world is more than happy to jump on the bandwagon and let you know you deserve what you got. The Pharisees run back to Pilate and they tell Pilate, Pilate, you need to allow us to seal it and then put a guard on it. Because, see, he said some things before he died. And his disciples ain't, you know, they don't care nothing about the Sabbath. You know, they'll get up during the Sabbath and go pick up this dead body and move this dead body and just so that we'll be wrong. And that we don't want to look bad. Could you seal the stone and put some soldiers around it? And so Pilate, more than happy to do so, well, y'all see to it. And they did just that. They sealed the stone. Now, when the governor sealed the stone, that means that upon the pain of death, you wasn't supposed to move that thing. And when I say upon the pain of death, believe you me, the Romans knew how to put you in some pain before they killed you. And then set a watch. Now, the thing about the watch is this. See, once you were given charge of a thing, the Romans expected you to carry that thing out. And if you failed to carry it out, they'll kill you dead. Look, that's kind of redundant, huh? Kill you dead.
It's the point. All right, y'all. All right.
Y'all figure it out when you get home. But they made sure as the world can, that that body would stay in the grave. So here come these women, and they're the first to get to the grave. It says, now on that very day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women, notice there wasn't no fellas with them, they got up at old dark 30 to make their way to a gravesite. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't spend a whole bunch of time at the cemetery, especially in the dark. Don't be laughing because you ain't there either. But they cared so much about Jesus, and they're still trying to digest the things that happened all the last week. Come Sunday last week,
yeah.
Everybody was yelling Hosanna, yeah, and hallelujah. Yeah. And then here it is, the next Sunday, and now everybody's weeping tears and trying to understand what happened. Didn't they love them, Jesus? But isn't that true in life?
Well, yeah.
You got a lot of people that'll say, rah, rah, good for you. And then be ready to throw knives in your back when they make their way to the parking lot. There are a lot of people who love to go to a party. They'll go to a party. Matter of fact, not everybody that followed Jesus for the same reason.
Right.
Some of them heard that he was feeding folk. They say, I heard that they could get some fishes and some bread. And they'll follow him to get fed. Not so that the spirit might get fed, but that you might have some food in your stomach. But here it is, these are the same women. They weren't going to witness a resurrection, but they were going to grieve a friend. On their way to grieve their friend, they get there, and now everything is on top of its head. I know they weren't there to go and witness a resurrection, because in Mark, the women begin to talk amongst themselves and say, who are we going to get to move the stone? Now notice, these women are amongst themselves. They said, now there's about maybe five of them named in verse 10. And I said before, but so that pretty much tells you it was a pretty heavy stone. There are five women who are already walking to the grave in the middle, I won't say the middle of the night, but before the sun came up, and they get there, and they're still trying to figure out, who else can we get to help us move this stone? But then not only that, but once they get there, imagine their surprise when they get there and the stone is rolled away. Imagine their disbelief when they find that somebody has defiled the stamp on the stone and then overcame the soldiers to roll away the stone.
Right.
Then imagine their profound concern when the body is not in the tomb. I mean, they're already reeling from the events that happened last week. And here they come this Sunday trying to get closure. That's the reason why we have funeral services, y'all. So that you might get closure upon what has happened. I don't know it, but if you've lived any great amount of time, if you ever lost anybody close to you, you realize that the grieving process doesn't just necessarily stop the day that you have the service. But then the grieving process sometimes will take even days and months, and for some people, years. My daddy has been dead. My natural daddy has been dead for over 20 years. But there are still times in my life when I want to pick up the phone and call him. But then I realize that my natural daddy ain't around for me to call. I've got to suck it up until I can see him again. Because I know that my natural daddy received Jesus. But I'm not going to see him again until I'm in the presence of the Lord. And so maybe it's the same with these women. They are overwhelmed with all the information that their eyes have seen. They went here to go do the last rites for their friend, for their son, for their rabbi, and he's not there. And then they begin to, it's almost like you ever like cut yourself and you be bleeding and then you don't realize that it hurts until you look at it. Amen.
Right.
It's just like that in life. Sometimes you don't realize that you are hurt and confused and turn it all upside down until you begin to really look at it. And the Bible says that when they got there, they found that the stone had been rolled away. Not only were they the first to the grave, but then they were the first to see the stone. The Bible says that they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Now, This initial observation was important because this observation is important for three reasons. First, the stone was large and heavy. It wasn't meant to be moved. It was sealed in place, which meant that if you moved it upon the pain of death, they would get whoever rolled the stone away and kill them. Not only were their lives in danger, not only was the stone too heavy, but then the stone was guarded by armed men.
Yes, sir.
Who would kill you.
No.
But they show up. And notice here in Luke's account, he don't say nothing about them. They're not even on the scene. But if you go to Matthew's account, there was like as if they were
dead
men. Now they're perplexed. Now they're overwhelmed. They go to the grave. They see that the stone is rolled away. But then they see the empty tomb. And the Bible says that then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The stone was rolled away. The grave was that was previously occupied is now empty. Now I don't know about y'all. I don't know how much experience you have with dead things, but usually if you leave something dead in a place, it will stay there. Ain't nobody messing with it. You know, I mean, unless it's roadkill and you into eating that, I don't know. Don't laugh. But usually dead things will stay where you leave them, especially if you put it in a tomb. So that means that whatever's inside on the other side of that stone should have stayed there. But guess what? The stone had been rolled away. The grave that was occupied is now empty. And the body that was inside is not even on the premises. I don't know about you, but that would cause me some confusion too. And certainly it caused them some confusion, didn't it? Because not only did they see the empty tomb, but they were the first to hear the angel. And as it happened, they were greatly perplexed about this. That behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And then they were afraid and they bowed their faces to the earth and they said to them, the angels said to them, those who were in the shining garments said to those who were perplexed and confused, the fellas that was all dressed up in white, the fellas that were there when the stone was rolled away, the fellas that were there when the armed men acted as if they were dead men, they turn around and they tell these women, why do you seek the living among the dead? Let me make this clear. He says, he is not here. Hey, I mean, you imagine now their brains are really fried. I was there. I saw him when he was killed. I was there when they took him off the cross. I was there when they wrapped him up. I was there when they put him in the tomb. I was there when the stone was rolled in front. I was there when they placed the seal on it. I was there when the soldiers showed up and said, this is our job. I don't know about you, but when they got there, their mind stopped like, whoa, can somebody slow the world down and let me off? I mean, when you talk about information overload, I mean, you know what that is, right? Information overload is just basically this. It's just too much at one short time. You ever read legalese? You ever read a contract? You ever buy a car?
Yes.
Do you read all the stuff that you signed?
No,
you just, the man said, put your initials here, put your initials there, put your initials, sign here, turn the page, sign there. You know, there's a whole bunch of words in between those signatures.
A whole bunch.
Overwhelming.
You ever bother to read it?
No.
Not until your car went south. Now you back in the room trying to get that yellow copy that they give you, the glory one, and then you got to break out your reading glasses and your dictionary. Because none of the words is words that you use in real life. Information overload. They do it to you on purpose. They know you ain't going to read it, but all that does is identify them. Just makes it harder for you. Here it is. That how do you wrap your head around the prospect that he once was dead, but now he's alive forevermore? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Two mysterious men in shining clothes caused them to be afraid and fall on their knees. And then they begin to speak hope to their fear. Notice they never said, get up. They just begin to speak hope to their fear. Right. See, they came there with fear. They came there not knowing. They came there lost. They came there to try and put it all together, to try and work out, okay, he's dead, but where do we go from here? And you know, most funerals are just like that, isn't it? You have said all the wonderful things you're going to say about your loved one. You said what a wonderful provider there was, what a wonderful soul they were, what, how they would take you to the park and laugh at your bad jokes. How wonderful they were. And now you're left with trying to pick up the pieces. Who's going to take me when I need to go? Who's going to love on me when I need to be loved? Who is going to encourage me when I need to be encouraged? Who's going to show me the way that I need to go now that they're gone? Yeah. Many of us find ourselves in that same situation. Yes. You didn't want to be Big Papa. You didn't want to be Big Mama. But Big Mama passed and Big Papa passed. And now you Big Mama. Now you Big Papa. And you sitting there and you're going, how do I do this? All eyes on me. Yeah. Praise be unto God. Jesus gets up out of the grave. Yes. You ain't got to work it out. He's already worked it out for you.
Hallelujah. Glory.
He's already made a way. He tells you how to go and what to do. All you got to do is do it. Yes. But you know what? Some people kind of stuck.
Well,
I won't say stuck on stupid. But some people just kind of stuck. Because after Jesus has told you all that you need to do, you're like, well, I can wait one more day. It doesn't seem like a decision that I have to make today. But don't you realize that even though Jesus got up out of the grave, you will one day get up out of the grave.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The question is, will they call you sheep?
Well.
Or will they call you goats? Will you go to heaven? Or will you go to hell? Jesus makes the way.
Amen.
And he makes the way because he gets up out of the grave. And isn't it amazing what good news will do? It's an unexpected check that comes through the mail. That'll make you happy.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the birth of a child and it brings gladness and hope to your heart.
Yes.
And then you'll find that after I'm done preaching, many of you will go to some place and have some good food, enjoy some good company, and then have some good conversation. It'll lighten your heart. You'll have some laughs and you'll have some memories that you can fall back on. It's just good and pleasant to be in the presence of those that will make you joyful. I'll come by to let you know this morning that because Jesus gets up out of the grave, and the fact that he has risen, it'll lighten your heart. It'll pronounce life to your life and not death on your life. Because Jesus gets out of the grave, you know that one fine morning when he calls your name, he'll say, Stanley,
amen.
Come on home.
Yeah.
I've got a mansion for you. Yeah. And you can come run with me for a while at my house.
Well done.
And he says what? Well done?
Yes.
My good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you a master over much. Come on home with me.
Yeah.
He pronounces death on death. But there's one more movement we find here in the text. And the Bible says that they remembered his words.
Yes.
And we find that sometimes that in our life, as we roll through our life, we forget some of the things that Jesus has told us.
Well,
we find that circumstances and situations may cause you to forget his words.
Yes.
But his words are still there.
Yes, sir.
He, the cares and the wickedness of the world may cause you to forget his word, but his word is true.
Yes,
pain and suffering may cause you to forget his word, but his word stands eternal.
Amen.
His word stands beyond your situation. His word stands beyond your faults. His word stands to help you in your need.
Yeah.
They were the first to tell the story. When they returned from the tomb, the Bible says that they told all these things to the 11. And these women had a story, didn't they? And I can imagine, you know, when you get good news. I had a friend recently. We just filled a position at my job, and my friend got the job, right? Now, my boss, who is a brand new boss, can't help her with everything. Because I'm walking out the door. I can't help her with everything, but she did. The one thing she did wrong was she told everybody else who didn't get the job. After she told the guy who got the job. Let me tell you how. Let me tell you what happened. Do I even need to tell you what happens after that? Good bosses tell the losers you lost, then tells the winner they won. You never tell the winner he wins at first.
That's right.
Because you know what happens? Good news
travels fast.
So everybody who was up for the job, people calling them, telling them, oh man, I'm sorry he didn't get the job. Now just imagine if you were that guy and you got that call and you trying to figure out, well, how you know before I knew and I'm the one who applied for the job? How would that make you feel? But praise be unto God, God lets everybody know at the same time.
Yes.
You can all be winners.
Yeah.
There's nobody who has to lose.
Right.
Man, look, folk go to Vegas on the chance that they might win. Amen. You go up, you fill your car with gas. Nobody in here, right? Because I ain't saying that you go to Vegas and gamble. But if you do, bring your tithe back.
Amen.
Bring your tithe back. I ain't casting dispersions. I've been there. I'm not saying I ever gamble, but I've been there and I've seen people in Vegas. And they'll gas up their car. They'll drive all the way through the desert, past Baker, past Barstow. Amen. Past Zizix. See, I know you've been there. When you get there, you got a place to stay and food to eat. Definitely go to Rio and eat at the buffet. You spend all that money there and then you help out the local economy. There's a reason why they don't have income tax, because you spend all your income tax there. Go ahead, Pastor, preach. But they get there and they do what they do. But you know what? On the chance that you might win, you do all that.
Right.
I come by to let you know this morning
that
there's a guarantee.
Yes,
amen.
God gives each and every soul a guarantee. And the guarantee is this: if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. It's a free ticket at the free buffet. You can roll up, eat as much as you like, whenever you like. He says, come on and learn about me and feed your soul. You can never get enough Jesus. That's why we do it twice on Wednesday and once on Sunday. And if we get big enough, maybe we'll do it a couple more times on Sunday.
Amen.
You can never get enough Jesus.
Amen.
And so these women, they had a story, and the Bible says they returned from the tomb. And can I just work my exegetical imagination? Homiletical, exegetical imagination?
Yeah.
50 Cent word saying I'm making this up. But I can just imagine if they had such good news, They didn't just walk back to
the grave. Come on now.
Ran.
They probably walked to the grave in the dark.
Well, head bowed.
Head bowed. Real slow.
Yeah.
And when they got there and they saw what they saw and they heard what they heard, there was a pep in their step. And they're like, I don't know about y'all, but you know, dresses now are kind of short. But back in the day, they was pretty long. And I can just imagine, Mary got hers hiked up. And so were the others. And they didn't walk back. They was running. And when they got to running, and they told the men, we done been to the grave. The master ain't at the grave. And the Bible says, look, I didn't even put this one in today. But the Bible says that when the men heard it, Peter, James, and John got to running too. They hiked up their skirts. Don't be laughing because they had skirts back then. They had to take them and put them in the sash. So they put it in the sash. And John was a little bit faster than John. John was a little bit faster than Peter because Peter was moving kind of slow. Yeah. Not because maybe Peter was slow, older, or Peter was like, you can run up on this if you want to. But then John got to the site first, and John got there, and John stopped at the door. He said, I ain't going up in there. But here come Peter, knife and all.
Tell the story.
He run past John, he goes into the tomb, and he finds that Jesus ain't there. And now, they're perplexed. And they go back. And then the Bible says that all of a sudden, Jesus
in the midst
shows up. In the midst. I just came by to let you know this morning that Jesus is more than enough to show up in the midst. You might be weeping tears on Friday, but Jesus will show up. Within my heart.